It would be my guess that the places in the world tonight where there are more Christians assembled to worship and sing like we've been singing than we have assembled here would be few and far between. We may very well take our blessings for granted. What a wonderful audience tonight. 2 or 3 weeks ago on Sunday night, I brought a lesson based upon suggestions made by our older members of what had helped them to live together 50 years or more. We announced then that the last 2 Sunday nights of May, the lessons would be brought based upon suggestions made by younger men and women who are married. One lesson would be, if my husband would, our home would be better. And the other one, if my wife would, our home would be better. And I ask especially the young adult class downstairs to give me suggestions, unsigned. I'd like to approach those 2 lessons from the standpoint of what the wife wants in the husband and what the husband wants in the wife. Not many of you have given me suggestions yet. Please do that, if possible, by Wednesday night. And it's really not limited to that class. Anyone who'd like to make a suggestion of how you think your husband could be better or your wife could be better, please do so. Please do not sign it. I don't want to know. That would make it difficult for me. This evening is a full evening. It has been suggested that we cut the sermon. It was suggested cut it to 10 minutes, and then one of the elders said maybe 3, and I said, if we do that, you realize how much I'll be making per hour. But I'll guarantee you that it will be cut. The service will be a little shorter, and then after we've dismissed our worship service, the Sunshine Singers will present a program for our enjoyment. And after they have finished, all of you who have become members of the church here since January the 1st, 2000, that's all of last year and this year, are encouraged to meet with the elders and deacons and their families for finger food fellowship, and we hope that each one of you will do that. You're coming as guests. If you've become a member here since January the 1st of last year, come and be with the group tonight. Let's have a period of fellowship. We'll worship God together. We'll listen to the Sunshine Singers for our enjoyment. And then we'll have a period of fellowship. This is a full evening. It's just about like all the other days in Henderson. Did you notice in the passage that was read a few minutes ago in Psalm 27 that he says, "One thing have I desired of thee"? One thing. That's the subject of our lesson tonight. This morning we talked about heaven, and I suppose that this really would tie in with that. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. One thing, he says, that I want more than anything else is to be a Christian, or here it would have been before Christianity, but to be a godly person, to have the right relationship with God, and to be able to go to heaven when this life is over. And that is the one thing that matters. Nothing else really matters when you stop and think about it. I really believe that all of us are allowing ourselves to become so involved in so many things in all the different areas of life that we sometimes overlook our priorities. And it's interesting to look at this concept of one thing. I want to go to the New Testament and look at 4 passages of Scripture tonight, 4 verses, where this one thing is mentioned, and just draw some lessons from that. The first is in Luke 10. In Luke 10, we have the conversation that involves Mary and Martha and Jesus. You're aware of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha being concerned about what they were going to eat and the physical things. 41 and 42, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And I wonder if that would not be characteristic of most of us tonight. We're troubled about many things on our minds. But notice what he says in verse 14. But one thing is needful. One thing is really what is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, we might describe that one thing in many ways, but tonight I want to suggest to you that Jesus, in a sense, was saying that the one thing that is needful is having trust in Jesus and being ready to sit at his feet. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Christ to lead us and to provide for us everything that we need. We become cumbered about the many things of this life. We become involved about finances. And I know this week is one of the most important weeks for all of you students, and I'm not going to ask you to not think about tests. I think maybe you ought to a little bit. But isn't it more important even than the test that you will be taking or the work that any of us will be doing this week to have the right kind of trust in Jesus, where we find that peace of God that passeth all understanding of Philippians 4 and verse 7, where we find the opportunity to cast our burdens and our cares on Him and to trust in Him and believe that all things will work together for good, Romans 8, 28, and casting our cares on Him, 1 Peter 5, 7. One thing, he says, is needful, and that is that we place our trust in Jesus Christ. Over in John, the 9th chapter, verse 25, these words, one thing, are used again. This is in the story of where Jesus healed the blind man. And there was a lot of discussion about whether Jesus was a sinner or not, and they couldn't understand what had gone on. And so they went to the blind man himself and asked him, what about this fellow that supposedly healed you? Who is he? Is he a sinner? What is he? And here's the answer that the blind man gave, or the man who had been blind, now seeing. John 9, 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, or no, I know not. But this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, you can say whatever you want to about the situation. You can call this man whatever you want to. You can describe anything that you want to. You can ask any question that you want to. But this is one thing I know. No doubt about it. I'd like to use that passage to suggest tonight that the one thing that you and I need to know is assurance of our salvation. Not in some mysterious way, but to be able to say like Job did in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives. To be able to say with Paul there in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. Now I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And to be able to appreciate what John says in 1 John 2:5, whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what our health will be next week. We don't really know what our financial condition will be a month from now. None of you knows exactly what grade you'll get on any test. But this one thing I know. The man said, I know I was blind and now I can see. You can't take that away from me. You may take a lot of things away from me, he said, but you can't take this away from me. I know, I have the assurance. I know I was blind and now I know I see. You and I can know that we are Christians by turning to God's word and depending upon it and placing our trust in Jesus that we've just described and finding that assurance that we need. One thing is needful, trust in Jesus. One thing I know, that I have a relationship with Jesus, that I am a child of His, and I have the assurance of heaven if I hold on to Him and live for Him. Then in the third place, over in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. Here's really the meat of the sentence. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, there is one thing that I do. Now, Paul had all the problems and persecutions, difficulties that anyone could have. And he could have talked about the positive things and the negative things, and he could have discussed things on one side and on the other. But he said, you know, really, here's the one thing that I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think Paul was saying there, one thing that I do that nobody's going to make me change is I am determined to serve the Lord. I don't care what the persecutions are. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. He said, I am determined to press on toward that goal. One thing I do, I am determined to serve the Lord. One thing is needful, or one thing is important in the sense of trusting in Jesus. One thing we know, we can have the assurance. One thing I do, having the determination to go on in the right direction. And then, in the 10th chapter of Mark and verse 21, Mark's account of the conversation between Jesus and the rich young ruler includes these words, one thing. You know what had happened previously in the conversation between Jesus and this young man, and he came to this. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. He said, one thing thou lackest. Here's a young man who had just about anything that he could have wanted. Jesus said, there is one thing that you lack. What was it he was saying that he lacked? Action. One thing thou lackest is the action. Do what I'm telling you to do. Take up your cross and follow me. Now you put those four things together, those four passages where it says one thing. One thing is needful. Trust in Jesus. Don't let anybody ever shake your faith. Number two, one thing I know. You can know the assurance of being a Christian. One thing I do, be determined that nobody will get you off course, no matter what happens, that you'll live the Christian life. One thing thou lackest, action, that you will put forth every effort you can to be a servant to the Lord, to serve His people as long as you live. There is a song, I don't remember the title of it, I don't know who sings it. I hear it sometimes when I'm in the car, and usually it's only this sentence that catches my attention. But it goes something like this, I know I love you, and this may be all I need to know. I know I love you, and this may be all I need to know. Folks, maybe we don't need to know everything. I'm pretty sure we don't need to know everything. But we do need to trust in Jesus, have the assurance of our salvation, be determined to live for Him, and put forth the action to do that. And if we do, then that passage in Psalm 27 will have specific meaning. One thing is important to me, and that's to live for God in such a way that I can go to heaven. That's the one thing that you need more than anything else. All these other things are insignificant compared to being ready to live with God in heaven when this life is over. Maybe tonight, the one thing some of you need to do is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Maybe the one thing you need to do tonight is to come asking for forgiveness in prayer. If either of those is the one thing you need to do tonight, come as together we stand and sing.